jammies and your bunny slippers, but thanks for coming this morning. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get right into God's Word. Daylight savings time. Don't you love it? Every day is soul-saving time. And that's why God has us here on this earth for a short period of time, that we would be light and salt for Him and that people would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Okay, if you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We'd love to have you follow along with us. Romans chapter 4 this morning. Romans chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessing it is to gather here together as your people, the family of God. What a blessing that is. That we can sing songs and hymns and praises to you, Lord. That's what worship is, singing to you. And what a blessing it is to begin our service this morning with psalms and hymns and praises to you. And so with open Bibles and open hearts this morning, open ears, open eyes, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us, challenge us, change us, conform us in the image of your Son. And we thank you for this precious book, as well as the other 65 books, all 66 books that you've given us, that are God-breathed, that are given by the inspiration of God. So, Lord, you be the teacher here this morning. And, Lord, we love you and thank you for speaking to us through your word here. In Jesus' name, amen. A little bit of an introduction, as usual. As we closed out chapter 3 last week, we learned that justification is by faith alone and not by works. And as I mentioned last week, I love that word justified because I break it down into three syllables. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God looks at me now through that blood, just if I'd never sinned. Isn't that incredible? Just if I'd never sinned. And the same holds true for you. Righteousness is by faith alone. You know, Scripture tells us in the last days there'll be many false teachers, false prophets. And there are many people out there today, even speaking right now from God's pulpit. This is God's pulpit. And they're telling people that there are many ways to get to heaven. I got news for you. There's many ways to get to God because everyone will be there one day. Believers, unbelievers, and make-believers. But there's only one way to get to heaven, period. By faith alone in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. How? Not by works. There's actually no good thing that you and I can do to inherit salvation. It's only by faith. And we're going to talk a lot about faith this morning. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. Last week we saw that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. How much is all? Every single one of us are sinners. But we, both Jew and Gentile, are justified freely by God's grace. Again, just if I'd never sinned, by God's grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Many times over the years I've heard people say, oh man, I don't deserve this. And I often say, well, I'm grateful I don't get what I deserve. I love, again, I use grace as an acronym. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. Through the redemption of Jesus Christ, by faith, that's how we are saved. Jesus, whom God had sent into the world as a propitiation, payment for our sin by his blood. And that through our faith in him, faith alone, we are saved. Chapter 3 closed where the Apostle Paul affirmed that there is no boasting in keeping the law. And again, there are many religions today, many people today that think they're saved by keeping the law. And that we are justified by faith alone, Paul said. And he was a former Pharisee. He said he was a Pharisee above Pharisees. He believed in the law and was him, Saul of Tarsus then, that was going from church to church, arresting Christians and having them put in prison until he was knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus, and God saved him. Praise the Lord. And so it was the Apostle Paul. His name went from Saul to Paul, that is now writing this incredible book to the church at Rome, Book of Romans. He had never visited there, but he will one day, and it won't be on a cruise ship, and it won't be first class in an airplane. Paul will visit Rome in chains. He will be arrested for his faith. Isn't that amazing? Well, God said, you're going to visit Rome, Paul. But it's amazing how God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And God still answered Paul's prayer, and he got to visit those saints in Rome. And so God is the God of the Jew as well as the Gentile, and both are saved through faith. A lot of Jewish people have a problem with that. But we're going to look at the father of faith here this morning, one by the name of Abraham, the father of faith. And isn't it wonderful that Paul is going to take the father of faith and show us why it's so important to believe by faith? Why? Because there's many Jews that were, you know, that thought they were saved because they were descendants of Abraham. Many thought they were saved because of circumcision. But Paul is actually going to use Abraham as an example of being saved by faith alone. And Paul will actually confirm the Old Testament teaching that salvation comes by faith alone. Yes, it is Old Testament and New Testament theology. It's not some New Testament thing, as many think today. God's justification has always been by faith. So let's look at the first four verses here this morning. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, not to him who works. The wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. And so Paul uses Abraham now as an example. No better place to go when it comes to faith, because Abraham was born before the law even was instituted, the law of Moses. Of course, as we know, Abraham was way, way, way before the cross of God's Son, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. And so Paul uses Abraham as an example. And further on, we will see another important character in the Bible that Paul will use, one by the name of King David. And these two were two of the greatest figures in Israel's history. And God made covenants with both of these men. Abraham lived centuries before the law. David lived many years after the law was given, and both were saved by faith. The Jews were very proud to be descendants of Abraham. We even hear that a lot today. We're descendants of Abraham, we're descendants of Moses, whatever it may be. The main relative that you and I need is to be related to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How? By faith, through faith in him. And when we look at the genealogies, one in Matthew and also in Luke's gospel, we see that through the lineage of Abraham and Moses all the way down to Jesus Christ, we see how God, in his incredible plan, sent forth his Son into this world as the Messiah to save us from our sins. Oftentimes, you know, before I came to know the Lord, I would try to read the Bible and I wonder, what are all these begots about in Matthew 1? Begot, begot, begot. And I thought the whole Bible was like that, so I just read the first chapter and left it alone. But the genealogy is there for good reason. It's absolutely perfect. It shows the genealogy and the lineage that leads up to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And so here we see in verse 2 and 3, we are saved by faith alone. Notice, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Or what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him or imputed to him for righteousness. And what we see here is if Abraham was justified by his works, he would have reason to boast, but not before God, because no one can be saved through works. Scripture says in Genesis 15:6 very clearly that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness' sake. Yeah, way back then with Abraham, he believed in God by faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Hebrews 11:17, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, was willing to offer up his son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah. Bless you. And he passed the test by faith, as the Lord provided a ram in the thicket that day. And because of Abraham's faith, God promised to multiply Abraham's descendants as the stars of heaven. What an incredible story it is in Genesis 22. I did a memorial service upstairs for the Jews one time, and guess where I went? Genesis 22. Abraham, the father of faith. And how God said, Abraham. And Abraham, of course, said, here I am. And God said to Abraham, this had to be heavy duty on this poor man. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, up to Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice to me. Is that not heavy? I was thinking about that. If that happened to me today, I'd be going, get thee behind me, Satan. That can't be from the Lord. But you know the amazing thing? Abraham didn't say one word. Loaded up the donkey, wood for the sacrifice, everything he needed. And the Bible says he went up to Mount Moriah. This is the incredible thing that really encourages me in the faith of this man. You know what he said to his servants as he left him at the bottom of the hill? He said, you guys wait here. My son and I will return. Because he knew that if God had allowed him to sacrifice his son, that God was going to raise him up because Abraham believed by faith. And he took him up onto Mount Moriah. And it is, history tells us that Isaac was about the same age as Jesus. Mount Moriah is where Jesus was sacrificed. Amazing. Thousands of years later. And as he went to sacrifice his son, an angel of the Lord stopped him. And there was, it just happened to be a ram in the thicket there for the sacrifice. But isn't it amazing how God worked through this man? God will never tempt you, but sometimes God will test you. And our heart's cry and our heart's desire should be that we would pass the test. I don't think any of us will ever have to be facing a test like we see with Abraham here, but he knew that if God allowed him to sacrifice his son, that God would raise him up, because he believed the promise of God that through Abraham would come the seed of Israel and also would come the Messiah. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Wow. What a story that is. Read it for yourself, Genesis 22. And again, how could Abraham have been saved by keeping the law when the law had not even been given yet? Verses 5 to 8. But to him who does not work but believes on him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David, here we go, he's going to point to King David now, also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. That's even us today, isn't it? And whose sins are covered. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does or to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. And again, here we are thousands of years later from King David, and we're rejoicing. We are blessed. Oh, how happy is what the term blessed means. And we are happy, we are blessed because our sins are forgiven. In those days, with the blood sacrifice, it was a covering, a kofar in Hebrew. It covered the sins of the people. But today, the Bible tells us, because of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our sins are put away completely, and God remembers them no more. That should cause us to rejoice. He remembers our sin no more. Hardly a day goes by when the enemy tries to throw things up in my face from my past. And as I've said many times before, when he reminds me of my past, I just remind him of his future. And so here we see the justified man does not work to earn salvation, Paul says. He acknowledges that all of his best works are not good enough to save him. And how sad it is. Look at the world around us. There are many people doing works that they think are giving them favor with God, and they actually think that they're earning their salvation. How sad is that? Because when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was brutally sacrificed on the cross for you and I, he said, "It is finished, tetelestai, it is complete, no balance due." Praise the Lord. All we are asked to do is to believe by faith. But you know what happens when you believe by faith? That we do works, not to earn salvation, but to give thanks to God for saving us. That's why we do what we do. And we can't do enough good works to thank him enough. Even the words thank you aren't enough. When I say them, thank you, Lord, it just seems as though it's not enough from my heart of what I would really like to say to thank him for what he has done by saving my soul from hell and damnation. And here we see again, in him he justifies the ungodly, verse 5. He takes God at his word. He comes by faith as a sinner, throwing himself on the mercy of God. And the results, his faith is accounted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Believing instead of working. James 2:18 tells us, "I will show you my faith by my works." The meaning that because we are saved, we should do everything and anything we can to be about our Father's business and to give thanks to him for what he's done for us. And David, he was Israel's greatest king, but he was not perfect. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a liar. But yet, because he repented of his sin, Psalm 51 is a wonderful account of David's repentance. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That's a good prayer to pray every day. And David was forgiven. By faith, he believed in the Lord, and he believed in the sacrifice, and God saved his soul as well. If Jesus came into this world to save imperfect people, or to save perfect people, he couldn't find one. And when he came into this world to save imperfect people, he found us all. Because we are all imperfect. Again, 6 to 8. "Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin." And so here we see David, and isn't it amazing as well that God called David, even after all that he had been through, murder, adultery, lying, and all this stuff, God himself called David a man after my own heart. Wow. And you know what? We can use that term as well for ourselves. Men and women after God's own heart. We're not perfect. Neither was David. But that encourages me that I believe that God calls us the same. Those of us who are saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, he looks down from heaven and sees a man or a woman after my own heart, God says. Praise the Lord. But as we know, the enemy tries to put a guilt trip on us. You're not good enough. All these lies right out of the pit. But you know what? We need to hold on to God's word. He remembers our sins no more. And so David experienced the joy of God's forgiveness, didn't he? And he writes about it through many of the Psalms. And David's a wonderful example again of forgiveness and justification by faith. And here Paul quotes one of David's Psalms, Psalm 32, a Psalm of David which is entitled, The joy of forgiveness. Imagine that. David wrote a psalm, Psalm 32. And if you look at Psalm 32, the subtitle is The Joy of Forgiveness. Why is it that the enemy rips us off and steals our joy? Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. We should have joy insurmountable because of the forgiveness that God has imparted to you and I. And David actually closes this psalm, if you read it, Psalm 32. I love this. David writes, "He who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice in your righteousness, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart." That's us. We should shout for joy, all of us who are upright in heart. And again, we're not perfect, but we are men and women after God's own heart. And we have joy in our heart, and peace, and love, and all the wonderful fruits of the Spirit, because the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we are sealed for the day of redemption. And so we too can shout for joy. When we confess our sin, when we ask God for forgiveness, when we believe by faith that we are truly forgiven, that should cause us to shout for joy. Thank you, Lord. Faith is believing by faith in Jesus Christ and receiving by faith his wonderful gift of salvation. It's that simple. But many people complicate it. All the false teachers, false prophets out there, you know, instead of giving us a truth that sets us free, they just want to put a whole bunch of rules and regulations on us. We're going to talk about that a little more in a moment. Oh, the do's and don'ts, you know. Let me give you a don't. Don't listen to these knuckleheads. Test everything by the Word of God. This is the truth here. We live in a world filled with fake news and lies right out of the pit. This is the truth, every bit. And it's the truth that we hold on to. That's why it's so important to hold on to God's Word, memorize God's Word, read God's Word daily. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's not just physical food. Behold, manna from heaven, daily bread, right here. And so Paul quotes Psalm 32, praise the Lord. Verses 9 to 12. "Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, which is the Jew, or upon the uncircumcised, which is the Gentiles also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but also who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised." Wow. Interesting section here. I'm not going to get too descript. But in Genesis chapter 17, God gave the right of circumcision to Abraham before he was circumcised. Paul talked about it last week in our text, which is a picture, a foreshadow of cutting away the flesh of the heart. And God gave the right of circumcision to Abraham, which was a personal seal for the Jews that they were God's people. It didn't save them. It set them apart from idolaters in the world. It set God's people, the Jews, apart from the nations that worshiped other gods, small g, idols, pagan images. And Paul's point here is that the rite itself did not earn Abraham's justification or salvation from God. We know, and we've seen how many times we've already mentioned just here this morning in a few minutes, that Abraham was saved by faith. He was justified by faith, not by works. But yet there are many today, Jewish people, that think they're saved by the rite of circumcision. But again, We are told over and over and over it's by faith. Long before circumcision, that Abraham was in right standing with God through faith alone. Faith, faith, faith. You're going to hear that word 100 times this morning. Abraham was justified before God, before he was 75 years old. Imagine that. I'm thankful that I was saved at 33. I can't imagine waiting to 75. Circumcision was not introduced by God until Abraham was 99. Imagine that. At 99, Abraham probably said, "You want me to do what?" And again, he was tested. As Paul had previously taught us here in the book of Romans, ritual does not earn one's salvation. Circumcision was a rite, R-I-T-E, a ritual. And again, look at the false teachers today that tell you that you have to go through the Virgin of Guadalupe or the Virgin Mary or all these other ways that will never, ever, ever get you to heaven. 1 Timothy 1:5, I believe it is, says that there's one mediator, but one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ and him alone. There are many people today to think, well, I've been baptized, I've been sprinkled, I've been dipped, I've been dunked. That won't get you in either. Baptism is a public profession of your faith in Jesus Christ as you go down into the watery grave and you come up in the newness of life. It speaks of the new resurrected life in you. And again, look at the ridiculous things people tell you that you have to do to be saved. Fish on Friday. There's something fishy about that. I'll have a big old porterhouse steak on Friday, if you don't mind. You remember Peter in the book of Acts where the sheet came down 3 times? Peter says, "I ain't going to take and eat of anything unclean." And God said, "It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, Peter. It's what comes out of your heart." And so we don't have to, you know, follow the food laws. If you're a vegetarian, praise the Lord. God bless you. But I often tell people being a vegetarian is a big missed steak. I know, I couldn't resist. I'm going to get some emails on that one. It's so important to realize we're saved by faith. Give thanks whatever you have. You know, and it's not, again, not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your heart. Because your food doesn't go into your heart. Your food and your stomach are separate. And we're saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And if we're going to boast, we need to boast in Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us. That's what we should boast about, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And again, look at verses 10 to 12. "How then was it accounted, while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised, at 75 years old. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal for the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all who believe, though they are uncircumcised." That includes, again, the Gentiles, doesn't it? We're not saved by some physical rite. The promise in Genesis 17 that Abraham would be the father of many nations, again, was not through the law, but through faith. Yes, he obeyed the law, and yes, he did what he was told to do, but yet he was not saved by the law, but by faith. And you know what? Scripture goes on to say that the whole world would be blessed by Abraham, by his faith, the father of faith. And look at us here this morning, thousands of years later, studying about Abraham, the father of faith. And what are we doing? We're sitting here with open Bibles and open hearts, being encouraged in our faith, being strengthened in our faith. Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. That's why we go through God's word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We don't have to sensationalize it. We don't have to water it down or anything. It's God's word, and we don't tamper with it. It's absolutely 100% perfect. And so here we see that the entire world is blessed through Abraham. Because the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came through his bloodline, through the lineage. And of course, the promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is from Abraham's line, and truly the whole world is blessed through him even today. Verses 19 to 20, I'm sorry, 13 through 25. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Amazing, isn't it? So why is it important to believe by faith and walk by faith and not by law? And again, when you believe in God by faith and you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no way you can be a lawbreaker, can you? Because we have the Holy Spirit, that wonderful alarm system from God that goes off whenever we blow it, be it in word or deed. Praise be to God. And we can no longer be lawbreakers. That is, unless you're behind the wheel. I've seen many of you leave the parking lot. Just kidding. But we're not saved by law. That does not mean that we don't keep the law. That should cause us to be obedient to the law, shouldn't it? Because we know what God's word says. And again, I get angry today when man changes God's law. Look what man has done in the state of California. I'm not going to lay out a list of things, but look what has been legalized in California when God says those who practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God says what he means and means what he says. I read an article yesterday, over 700,000 people have left California because of what's going on in this state politically. We need to pray for not only California, but our nation. We have turned our back on God. God's law is yea and amen, and we don't tamper with it. And again, why would you want to tamper with God's law? God gives us laws to protect us, to keep us from harm, to give us joy. And we avoid all of the things that many of us had to endure as lawbreakers and sinners prior to our conversion. And God gives us laws for good reason. But there's something in man's heart, this rebellious spirit in the unsaved man or woman that is just lawbreakers. Laws are for everybody else but me. How sad. And so verse 15, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And again, you see how important it is to walk by faith over and over and over, just like Abraham. As it is written, I have made you, Abraham, a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. You see how God blessed this man who was a man of faith? It is amazing. And he believed without seeing. The world out there says, well, you show me and I'll believe. No. It's not seeing is believing. That's a popular term today. But it's believing without seeing. That's what faith is all about. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you know, oftentimes when we pray and walk by faith and trust God in every area of our lives, isn't it absolutely incredible when he does something that is literally and physically impossible in your life? It is amazing when we just, by faith, trust God, pray about it, leave it in his hands. And you know what? He just loves to blow the minds of his kids. And he does that so often, doesn't he? And so here we see, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. Abraham had no idea the number of nations that would come out of his seed, his lineage. Abraham had no idea the number of people that would be saved through the Messiah who came through his lineage. What a mind blower. All by this one man who believed by faith, 99 years old, told to go sacrifice your son. He believed God by faith. And look what God has done. We sit here thousands of years later going, look at what God did through this man. Verse 19. Not being weak in faith, he, Abraham, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. You believe that today? You believe that everything God promises you and I, he's able to perform? I believe that with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And being fully convinced that he had, what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I got that highlighted in blue and circled and arrows, the whole thing going on here. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was? Faith. Now, it was not written for him, for his sake alone, that it was imputed to him. Look at this. I got this circled as well. But also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Wow. You see, the promise that God had given Abraham and Sarah was that they, in their old age, would produce a son. You know the story, right? You've read it. Imagine. 100-year-old man. I think Sarah was about 90. She had to be the talk of the bridge club at the senior center when she came in with a maternity smock on. Probably think, oh, Sarah's losing it, man. Until they touched her little belly. You tell me. I got goosebumps again, or sheep bumps. I'm not a goose, I'm a sheep. But is God not a God of miracles? 100-year-old man, a 90-year-old woman. Amazing. It was physically impossible, as we know, to reproduce. But again, one of my favorite promises in Scripture is, with God all things are possible. At that time, physically impossible to reproduce, yet here in this verse, Paul's referring to the time when Abraham was 100. At this point, it's humanly impossible to create a new life. And apart from the miraculous power of Almighty God, it never, ever, ever could have happened. Here's the amazing thing. Was Isaac that God gave them, the son of promise, which was that the Messiah would come through the lineage. Isaac's son was Jacob, or Jacob, who would become Israel. Again, God's incredible plan was what the Messiah would come through the Jew, through Israel, through virgin birth, as we will see in the book of Isaiah when we get there. Nothing short of miraculous the way God works. But yet people still don't believe. That amazes me. God promised a son. Abraham believed God's promise. Sarah didn't have to go and get the little test there to see if it was a boy or a girl. God said a son, and lo and behold, a son. Abraham believed God's promise. And again, guys, can you imagine? 100-year-old man passing out cigars. It's a boy, you know? And they're probably thinking, man, old Abe, he's kind of lost it in his old age, you know? But again, we serve a God who does the miraculous to this very day. If God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's doing miraculous things today. Yeah, he is. All he asks you and I to do is what? Believe. By faith. And again, humanly speaking, this was impossible. Yet, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, which was dead from reproduction, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Both of them dead, unable to reproduce. God said it. Abraham believed it. The only impossibility for these two was if God were lying. But we know that God can never, ever, 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 ever tell a lie. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And whenever God tells us something, and even though it may be far beyond something that is attainable humanly, something that's humanly possible, something that's humanly impossible, we can still believe God. He said it, he's going to do it. Same holds true with us today. Recently, over the past few weeks, be it at the men's study or here, we've talked about eternal life. It's hard to comprehend in these puny little brains that we have what eternal life truly means. Can you fully grasp eternal life? I can't. And to have a new body in heaven one day. You know, and it's humanly possible to even imagine us having a body with no more tears, no more pain, no more grief, no more sorrow, no more illness, all these incredible things in that new heavenly body one day. But God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Here we see God said it, Abraham believed it, and it came to pass. And again, these things were written to encourage you and I in our faith. These aren't just flannel board characters for Sunday school that we're talking about. These are real people. Abraham, Sarah, David, Isaac, Jacob, all of them real people. This is history, human history here. And not only that, we are seeing God's hand through it all. God said it, Abraham believed it. Abraham really wasn't sure how God was going to do it, but he was going to give him a son. Matter of fact, you know that even the father of faith failed the test when he first told him he was going to have a son, because he knew it was physically impossible for Sarah, whose womb was dead. And so Sarah and Abram got together and said, why don't you go into Hagar, the handmaiden? You know the rest of the story, but that just shows that even Abraham at times had a lapse of faith. And that encourages me. Because there's times for all of us when we waver, when we flounder, when we have lapses of faith. And I think it's so important for us to look at God's word the way it's written and believe it by faith and know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever think or ask. And so Abraham really wasn't sure how it's going to happen, but he did know that God promised it and God would do it. And God's word, this book that you have in your lap and that I have in my hand, is the surest book in the history of mankind. It's the surest book in all of the universe right here. And we have the privilege and the pleasure of having God's word speak to us. God's word is the surest thing in all of the universe. And you can take it all the way to heaven. For Abraham, he knew God would do it, and so Abraham believed God. And again, as we see in verse 22, Abraham believed God. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Praise the Lord. Now, verse 23, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. Isn't God incredible? This wasn't just written for Abraham. This miracle for him and Sarah was not just for Abraham. It was written for you and I. Because through the birth of Isaac and the Messianic line came Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, born of a virgin who came into this world, Emmanuel, God with us to save us. And so as he said here, it's not just written for Abraham, it's written for you and I as well. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him. who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's another miracle that we have to believe by faith, that God raised his son from the dead, who were delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Wow. So here we have this incredible historical narrative. We have this incredible historical truth. And it wasn't just written for Abraham, it was written for you and me, for us to believe and to us who believe, those of us who walk by faith. And again, that's another thing that bothers me, and I'll share it with you today. The too many people who say they're Christians walk by feeling. We are never, ever told in Scripture to walk by feeling. We are told to walk by faith. And you know what? Sometimes faith doesn't feel good. Why? Because like Abraham and others, David and others, we're going to be tested. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes there's pain and grief. Sometimes sorrow. We're not exempt. And so we're to walk by faith. Faith alone, not by feeling. And I have a hard time with these feel-good pastors that need to get out of the pulpit and to tell you not to claim that disease, brother. Give me a break. 6 years ago, I was told I had 5 months to live. And you know what? I didn't waver. Okay, Lord, you want me home in 5 months? I'll be there. I guess my place wasn't ready. Either that or heaven wasn't ready for me. But 50-some years after Vietnam, I got Agent Orange. And I had a mass on my neck. Some of you remember that. Loma Linda Hospital. Incredible. Doctors get together every day and they pray before they do anything. And they remove the mass. And guess what? Here I am 6 years later. Why? Because I walk by faith and not by feeling. The doctor, when he told me I had 5 months to live, said, "You better get your life in order." I said, "I already have." Jesus Christ, my Savior. It kind of shocked him. I just can't believe how a doctor who studies the human body can't believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator. You know? Think we're a monkey's uncle? I don't think so. We walk by faith. You kind of get the point this morning. How many times have I used faith? You probably didn't count. Faith, 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 faith. Jesus Christ was delivered up because of our sins and was raised from the dead for our justification. That's the word we started with. Just if I'd never sinned. Are you justified? Do you believe by faith? The price has already been paid. Jesus on the cross said, "It's finished, no balance due." He was crucified for you, and we are justified by faith in him. I'm going to close with Romans. Turn right to chapter 10. And we'll close. Verse 8. Again, Paul writing. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart and in your lap this morning. That is the word of faith which we preach. There we go. That you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek or Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Does it get any more simple than that? As I usually do, be it watching on YouTube this morning or if you're here in the sanctuary, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Has God spoken to you here this morning? If God has spoken to you and you are not sure that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, guess what? Today is the day of salvation for you. How does that take place? Just as we read out of God's word, that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you would like to call upon the name of the Lord and invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly and receive the greatest gift that any human being could ever receive, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as we close. Same with those watching on YouTube. I was asked if I would give an invitation this morning on YouTube. Let's pray. Father, I do pray in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, for those watching today that are not in the sanctuary, but maybe you've spoken to their heart. And those watching, if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as we see in the text this morning, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you that you rose again. Thank you that you're coming again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Seal me for the day of redemption as I give my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We can't see it here, but if anybody on YouTube prayed that prayer, the angels in heaven are rejoicing. So how are we to walk?
By faith.
Faith. Period. How simple is that? That's freeing. Walk by faith, my friend. God bless you all. Let's all stand. If I don't see you in the future, I'll see you in the pasture. God bless you all.